Testing, 1, 2, testing. This is Miss Evelyn Waters. She was born in Wheatland, Wyoming in 1916.
April the 30th.
And she's going to tell us some stories about when her and her husband were sheep herding.
We started with our sheep operation in 1941. We had over 2,500 head of sheep. And it was an occupation that you had to spend 24 hours a day with them. We lived in sheep wagons and tents and just in the open a lot of times. And the first year we had them, in the summertime we took them to the mountains, to our mountain range, which we trailed the sheep 47, 48 miles, and it would take us 9 days to make that trail. And we would start out at daylight and go until almost dark, and we'd make on an average of 7, 8 miles a day. And we had a wagon and a team of horses that we hauled our salt troughs in that we had made out of tires that was cut in two, and we had rock salt that we put out for the sheep about every other day. And we got to the mountains where there was a lot of it was rough enough to where we couldn't take the wagon. So we just left the wagon at the cow camp and our supplies, and we took a horse with a pack saddle. And the pack saddle had what we called panniers, and they were bucket-like things that hung over the side of the pack saddle, and I'd put the groceries in each side that we used for sheep camp. And then about every 4 days I'd have to ride horseback and go back to the cabin and get more supplies or whenever we'd need it. And we started out from the main cabin. We would go about a mile and a half, 2 miles, and make a sheep camp. And we'd stay there and herd the sheep up over the mountains, just in a small area. And we'd move camps every 4 or 5 days until we went clear to the farthest end of our land, which was about 11 miles. And when we got that far, well, then we turned around and came back. But we had taken a sheep wagon over the mountains, it was a rubber-tired sheep wagon and didn't have a brake on it. So we thought we'd try that and see if we could have it to be in from the outdoors. But it was kind of a cobbled-up ordeal, and we were moving one day and had a real steep mountainside to go down to get across this big canyon so we could herd the sheep off over in a different area. And the end slipped off of the neck yoke as Brownie was driving the wagon down, and when it slipped off, why, of course, it let the wagon run up on the horse's hind legs, and they began to run away. And he was sitting up inside of the door, sitting on the stove, driving them. And when he jumped up hill from the wagon. He held onto the lines and pulled them into this bunch of Quaker trees. And they uprooted about 7 Quaker trees. He was hoping that that would stop them, but it didn't. And when it run into these Quaker trees, why, the wagon began to roll. And the wagon and the horses just rolled over and over and over, clear down into the bottom of this big draw, down in the rocks. And the horses was fastened down in there, and we had to cut the harness off of them to get them up out of there. And they were all peeled up. And the wagon was completely demolished. And the only thing that spilled in that wagon was a 1/2-gallon can of strawberry jam. We didn't have anything to keep us dry or anything, and I pulled the bed out. We had a piece of canvas that we had the bed rolled in. And we rolled it up on the hill where we could bed the sheep down and watch them. And then I cut some poles and went down in the draw in the trees and crisscrossed them and tore the pieces of canvas that was big enough that I could salvage off of the sheep wagon and tied it around it so I'd have something to make a cover up over the groceries and the food to keep it dry. But our main trouble was the bears. And we'd hear in the night, and I'd get up and look and see, and an old bear would be rattling in the canned goods and stuff, and lots of times they'd get in and upset the butter and things that we needed, and they'd take what they wanted and we'd have to do without. We was about 2 miles from a cabin that had an old teepee in it. And I rode a horseback and went over and got that old teepee in it. The rats had chewed it, and it had holes in it, but it still, we used it to put it up, put our bed in to kind of protect us from the rain. And there was an old piece of oilcloth on the table. An old bachelor had lived in that cabin. And I took that big piece of oilcloth and put it up over the head of our bed. So when it rained, why, it would keep our heads dry anyway. And it rained 11 days and 11 nights, off and on. So we were wet most of the time. Then we moved camp while we was getting back over in real rough, rocky country. And Brownie went back over to the main cabin and was a 2-wheeled trailer that they used to pull behind the pickup to haul salt up for the cattle. And he cut a small Quaker tree and made a tongue in it and clamped it in that on the tongue of that trailer, and took the team of horses and pulled that trailer over so we could use it to move our camp in. But we'd stay at camp about 4 or 5 days, and during that time, while the tree would dry out that he'd made a tongue out of, we'd get it all of our things loaded up, and he'd get the horses hitched up to that trailer and start out and go over the rough rocks, and the tongue would break, and then our trailer would upset and everything would fall out on the ground, and he'd get mad, throw his hat on the ground and get the axe and chop another tree and make another tongue. And I would, and our oldest daughter, Jeanette, she was just a little thing, about 4 or 5 years old. And I'd take her on the horse, and I had the sheep, because we couldn't leave them by themselves. Somebody had to be with them all the time, and we had 3 dogs that we used. One dog would work on the right-hand side of the sheep and the other dog on the left-hand side of the sheep, and the other dog would stay behind with us. And as those dogs worked, well, we could signal with our arms, and they'd work as we'd show them the signals where we wanted them to go. And one old dog was just a three-legged dog. He'd gotten caught in a trap, just had three legs. But he'd do just so much work, and then when you weren't out doing any work, well, he'd quit. And he'd lay down, just as if to tell you, well, I've done my part, you get out and you do your part now. Well, in the back dog, we'd use him. But this old dog, he was pretty much the chief of the dogs. And we had a lot of rain and a lot of lightning, and the lightning was real severe. And it would lighten down on those big old granite rocks, and they were huge. Big old sparks, you could see the sparks flying, you could smell the sulfur when we'd have a bad lightning storm. We'd take the sheep down in places to water. There wasn't a whole lot of water. Lots of times we'd have to go down in the spring and take a shovel and dam up a spring so that we'd have big enough places to water the sheep. And this one area where we watered them was down a big, deep draw. And down at the bottom of it was a huge, great big rock. It was as big as a house. And Brownie was always looking for bear. And we got down in there and got the sheep on water. And after they'd drink, well, then they'd lay down for about 3 hours. We walked down around the bottom of this rock, and he hollered for me to come. And had our daughter, oldest daughter, with us, Jeanette. He said, "By darn, Ma, there's a bear in there." There was a hole in under that great big rock. And I told him, I said, you're crazy. You're always looking into holes and hunting for bear, and I'm not looking for no bear. But you could see where the bear had gone in, see his tracks, and he was dragging stuff in for getting ready for the winter, for hibernation. Brownie said, "Go get my rifle off of the saddle." We carried our rifles on the saddles, on our saddle horses. So he had a 30-30, and I went and got his rifle, and I told him, I said, "You might be looking for a bear, but I'm not." And we had one of the little old dogs, was a little old short-legged sheep dog, and we called him Pooch. And he said, "Come on, Pooch, let's get that bear. Come on, sick 'em, Pooch." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to stay down here." And I grabbed Jeanette by the hand, and we went around the back of the rock and went up on top. And you could hear Brownie saying, sick 'em, Pooch, as he was crawling in under in that hole and dragging his rifle along with him, alongside of him. Well, just as I got up on the top of the rock, well, I heard a scuffle, 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 and I looked off over that rock, and here was the dog about 20 feet out from that rock. Pretty soon here come Brownie, and his eyes were just like an old scared nipper. They were just as big as could be. He looked up at me and he said, "By darn, Ma, there is a bear in there." Well, the dog, he kept shoving the dog in ahead of him, and the dog met right face to face to the bear, and he passed Brownie in the hole and beat him out of the hole. Brownie had to crawl out with his rifle, and I told him, I said, "You're going to mess around and you're going to tie up with a bear one of these times, crawling in those holes." Well, he was satisfied that there was a bear in there, and he wasn't going to go in after it again. So after the sheep had rested for a while we went on up to where we had camp that we bedded him down at night. Then, after we wrecked the sheep wagon, all I had to cook on was just an open fire. And I'd put the rocks out around and fix it around where it would hold the wood. I'd make a big bed of coals, and I'd take frying pans and cook on them. Had big old cast iron frying pans. And And I'd make pancakes every morning for breakfast, and I'd make enough pancakes and fry them so we could use them for bread for our lunch and for our supper. Brownie said one day, he said, "I'm sure getting tired of these pancakes. I sure wish we had some light bread." And by that time, we was about 2 miles from a cabin that had a big old cook stove in it. And I said, "Well, I had yeast and flour, and I said, I'll mix up a batch of bread tomorrow and ride over to that cabin and bake some bread." And I took the bread pans and I put them in a flour sack. I mixed up a big batch of bread in a big old white granite bucket that had a lid that I could tie it on. I mixed up the bread and got my pans and my shortening. I tied the sack on the back of the saddle and took my bucket of bread and got on the horse, and I had to go about a half a mile to the first gate, or maybe it was farther than that, almost a mile. And by the time I got off to open the gate, I looked and the bread was raising and pushing the bucket, the lid off of the bucket. So I untied it, poked the bread down in. It wasn't very sanitary, but you couldn't feed it. Think about being sanitary. And I poked the bread down, tied it back on, went through the gate and got on the horse, and had another three quarters of a mile come to another gate, and I had to poke the bread down again. It was a race. So I got up to the cabin, and the rats had built nests in the oven and in the stove, and I had to clean that out before I could build a fire. And I worked my bread out in the pans, and I took tea towels with me, and I covered it up with tea towels. Got a fire built in the stove after I'd cleaned out the rat's nest. Put the bread in and baked the bread. I had about 7 loaves of bread. And I put it in the sack and on the saddle and rode back to the sheep camp, and we had light bread to give for about 3 days. Then we was a herding sheep one day up on this one mountain that had big old rocks around on it, and it was kind of a flat area, and Brownie hollered for me to come quick. I was on the other side of the sheep watching them, and I rode over there, and he had lassoed a badger. And he was had one of the dogs, and he was sicking the dog on that badger, because when that he got that rope on that badger, it made him mad, and that badger come up that rope trying to get him, and he'd run and stick the dog on him. And so I told him, I said, "What in the world was you thinking? To last through that badger?" I said, "You know very well you won't get that rope off." "Well," he said, "I'm going to stick the dog on him, and when the dog gets a hold of him, well, I'll slip that rope off." And I said, "The dog won't get a hold of it, because he had big old sharp teeth and claws." And the dogs would go, just had 2 dogs then, and they'd go just so close to him, and then they'd back up. So I went and got a big long pole, and I thought maybe he might be able to get a hold of the loop on that rope and work it loose. But that old badger fought enough to where it had tightened up pretty much around it. And when you get that pole at him, he'd just come right at you, right up that pole. So we finally took him over by a big rock. And there was kind of a hole down at the bottom of the rock, and we got around the top of the rock. Brownie said, "You take that rope and hold him up there, and I'll go around and take the pole and get it in there and see if we can get it loose." Well, we worked about 3 hours before we got that badger loose, but I'll tell you, we didn't rope any more badgers. That was an experience that we learned a lesson. And on the 12th of September, we had 21 inches of snow come. And one of the horses that we used for the team had gotten away from us, and it was way over about 4 miles away where he stayed. But we took the one horse and the saddle horse, and he got in the lead of the sheep. The sheep couldn't move at all because the snow was so deep. And he made a trail, and the sheep led out and followed him. And I was in the back of the sheep driving him up. We had him strung out about 3 miles. Of course, after they'd walked for a while they'd get out, and they'd made a little bigger trail. We had to trail about 5 miles to get over to the main cabin. We had crails over there that we could pen them in, and we had hay and cotton cubes that we could feed them. And Brownie said, well, I'll have to go get that horse, because we'll have to have the team to hook onto the wagon to take the sheep down to the low country. And I was watching the sheep herding them up along the mountainside, and Brownie rode over to get that horse, and it was big old mountains, and I got up high where I could watch the sheep, and I could see him way off in the distance, and he had his gun. He was trying to catch that horse, and I could hear him yelling and cussing at that horse, trying to catch him, and he couldn't catch him. Finally, I heard 2 shots, and I thought, oh my land, he's gotten mad, and he shot that horse. But he shot right in front of the horse, and it scared him, and the horse stood still and let him walk up to him. And that was the only way he was able to catch that horse out in those mountains. He led him on down to the cabin, and we got the wagon loaded, and then we left early the next morning. And the snow had melted some, but we could only go about 3-4 miles a day. And we got the sheep down to the main ranch, and his dad had bought another sheep wagon. So we would just ride across the river, the Platte River, and we kept the sheep on one side and the main ranch and the buildings, and the cattle was on the other side. And he'd get up every morning and go over and help he had a twin brother, and help his brother and his dad feed the cattle, and then I would go out and herd the sheep. But our bedding had gotten moisture from being inside of the sheep wagon, and that canvas had drawn moisture, and it was damp all around the foot of the bed. Now I'd build up a good fire. Brownie'd stacked wood in around behind the stove the night before, and I'd build up a real good fire to make it real warm in there and dry out our bed. But the sheep, the snow was deep enough to where they wouldn't go off the bed ground until it had warmed up. It was 10 below zero. And finally, about 10 o'clock, while they decided to go on out and graze in a bean field where we raised beans, and then they went up on the hillside. And of course, they was going on up, and I had to get around them with the dogs to, so they wouldn't go clear where they wasn't supposed to, because they'd go off for 3 miles if you didn't get around and hit them back. And I had a pair of Air Force sheep line leather breeches that I wore, and I had overshoes with the sheep line packs that the Air Force men wore, and a heavy jacket. And I walked on across that field and got up on the hill and sent the dogs around the sheep and turned them back. And after I got them turned back to work back down to the bed ground, well, I looked down and here was smoke coming out of the sheep wagon. Lousy, I run down off of those hills and down across that bean field, and the snow was about, 10, 12 inches deep. And running and real cold, and I got short-winded, but I was yelling for Brownie to come with every breath that I could. Well, I kind of give out, so I stopped and pulled my overshoes off and just left the packs, get rid of some of the weight so I could run. I got down the sheep wagon and grabbed the shovel and I chopped off blocks of snow because I knew as soon as I'd open that door that it would just burst in flame. So I'd take those blocks of snow and I opened the door real quick and throw it in on the stove and shut it again because I couldn't. I had to reach in around the little cupboard to get the water bucket. And I threw several blocks of snow in there to snuff the fire out a little bit. And then I grabbed the water bucket. And in my excitement, I failed to take the shovel with me. I was running to the river to get water. Our sheep wagon was probably 100 yards from the river. And it had ice frozen on about 4 or 5 inches deep, thick. And as I run out on the ice, I didn't go back after shovel. I run out on the ice and was hitting the ice with the bucket to break it through. And I got out far enough where it was thin, and I fell in. The water come in and filled my leather sheep-lined breeches full of water, but I just went ahead and got water, and the ice broke, and I run and throw a bucket of ice or water into the door and shut it. And during all this time, I was yelling for Brownie, hoping that he would hear me, because they was out feeding the cattle. And he happened to look over and saw me running with the bucket to the river. And then he saw the smoke, so he jumped off of the hay wagon and run to the barn. He threw a bridle on one of the saddle horses and jumped on it bareback and come over there, which he had to ride about a mile and a quarter to come up over the river bridge to get down to the sheep camp. And by the time he got there, I had the fire out, but my clothes were frozen solid on me. And his dad come with the pickup right quick, and they gathered up the sheep, and he told his dad, or he and his brother gathered up the sheep, and told his dad, he said, you take Ev over to the ranch so she can get those frozen clothes off. So they had to work around. My pants were frozen so hard that I couldn't bend my legs to get in the pickup, so they had to stick my legs in and get me in on the seat. I rode over to the ranch with Brownie's dad and his mother come, and they got me out of the pickup, and she had an old wood cook stove we cooked on. She put a chair and opened the oven door and stuck my legs in the oven. And the ice all melted. There was water all over on the kitchen floor, but that was the only way I could do it, get those pants off. But it hadn't done any damage to my legs because I kept warm with that ice on there. But we had to keep the sheep over there then and stay there, and then we'd drive. We'd let them go out on the other side of the river then, where there was another mountain, and we herded them up on that. But we stayed at the ranch till bought another sheep wagon and then moved out to another area and herded the sheep.
Thank you a lot, Graham.